Thank you, Lord. Well, you can be opening your Bibles to Psalm 46. You know, one of the principles that I was taught by Dave and Tim, and then later by the Holy Spirit, is my function here is not really to stand up and tell what I know. My function is to stand here and tell what I hear. Now see, it's different if you were attending a Bible college or a university or school, and we had a lesson today on the gifts of the Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit would let me teach along that line because that's what you're there for, and that's what the school is about. But when it's ministering to His body, he taught me years ago. He says, listen, instead of you having everything prepared ahead of time, you don't know these people. You don't know what they're facing. You don't know what they're going through. But I know each and every one of them. And he says, you have become a steward of the mysteries. And the way I picture that, I'm like a library. I have these revelations that I've understood over the years. They're like books in the library on the inside of me. He says, if you'll let me pull the volumes off the shelves and put together the message, he says, I'll minister to every person in the room. And even those around the world that hear this, he's going to minister to you today. So all I could hear this morning was this phrase, when trouble comes, when trouble comes. So I just sat there and let him begin pulling the volumes off the shelf, and stringing together some verses here and some concepts that he's told me. One thing about it, Jesus in two different places, you know, we talk about the promises of God. Well, God promised us trouble is coming. Mark chapter 4. You can come and hear the word and be blessed and receive it, and hopefully we're all good ground now. We're, you know, no matter what happens, the word continues to bear fruit. But he says now, affliction and persecution. And then how about this one? Just the cares of this world. That's what the enemy uses. He says the enemy uses those things to try and choke the word. In other words, what affliction, persecution, cares of this world. Boil that down to one word, I call that trouble. And I've learned a long time ago, I mean, as you can tell by looking at me, I've been on the planet a while. If you're only happy when your circumstances are perfect, if that's your life, no wonder, you know, you need prayer a lot. Because from what I've learned after being on the planet this long, you're either just came out of trouble, in trouble, or else trouble is coming. Because the enemy's not dead. He's not going to leave you alone. I remember that one person that asked a minister, would you pray for me? He said, well, sure. What do you want? Well, would you pray that the devil will just leave me alone? He says, well, do you want me to pray that you'll die? Because in this dispensation, that's the only way to guarantee that. Once you're in heaven, trust me, the devil's not there. Hallelujah. But you got to have to learn. I'll share this one. After decades upon decades upon the planet, and now about half of them in the kingdom of God, I can tell you this. Faith is a choice. Every time trouble has come, I had the choice. I could bow to it, get in fear, worry, snap at everybody, and, oh, you know, woe is me. Or I could choose to believe my God and trust in His Word. And faith is a choice. And I'll tell you right now, joy is a fruit of choosing your God. Happiness is not. Happiness is normally a fruit of circumstances. But you can actually come to the place. I can tell you, I tell Sue, in some of our darkest times we've had, and you know, trouble. And I wasn't always, I've learned to be like this. No matter what's going on, sometimes when I'm teaching, you don't know what's going on in our life, in our family. And I'll tell Sue, there's a party going on in here. I'm pointing to those that can't see. I'm pointing right here to my head. There's a party going on in here. Why? Because I choose faith rather than fear. And I could just as easily get over into fear. Gary, is it always easy? I didn't say it was ever easy. But it does become more natural. Is that a good way to say it, Daisy? It becomes more natural to you. The more you practice it, the more you choose it. In the early days, you have to choose faith. You have to choose to believe God's word. And it's your choice. And you can get to the place where that joy bubbles up into you and your circumstances are worse than they've ever been. And still, there's joy, a party going on upstairs. And eventually, even happiness will come out of that. But the thing of it is, by choosing faith, you're also choosing the power of God. And you'll see it come, too. So let's get some scripture on this. These are just some that I was letting him pull these off the shelf this morning. So again, he did promise this trouble is coming in Mark 4. You remember Luke 6? He was really teaching about doing his sayings. But Luke 6, the guy who was doing the sayings and the guy who wasn't doing the sayings, the storm came and beat upon both their houses. So the storm is coming. Now, are you going to choose to continue doing his sayings? If you do, your house won't fall, no matter what it looks like. Well, let's look at some of the sayings of the word. Now, Pastor Dave's going to be teaching more on that as he delivers more on this heart of the Father out of Luke 6. But let's just look at some other parts. These are some that I heard this morning. Some of them going all the way back to your little Sunday school days when your mama knuckled you in the head and made you go to church. How many remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The three Hebrew children. And here comes, you will bow, you will bow. And they said, we will not bow, you will bow. No. He said, stoke up that furnace. Make it 7 times hotter. Any of you ever think, my trouble is 7 times hotter than I've ever. Get into worry and fear. Bow down to me, trouble says. You know, the enemy, like Goliath, you know, bow down. Here's Nebuchadnezzar. Bow down to my image. You be in fear. I'm commanding you. Look at your circumstances. I'm going to make your circumstances 7 times worse than they've ever been before. I think the first time I ever heard a real good sermon on the fourth man was by Oral Roberts when I was a young man. Anyone ever read that book, The Fourth Man? It comes right out of the Word of God. You know, they threw those three Hebrew children in that furnace. And I mean, they stoked it up so high that the guys that threw them in there died from the heat. Then they're trying to look in there. So the king says, what do you see? Well, I see them in there. They're walking around. And there's a fourth man in there. And he kind of looks like the Son of God. I've always wondered how he knew what the Son of God looked like. But anyway, that's what it says. There's a fourth man in there with them. Jesus is with you in the fire. Doesn't matter what the enemy does. Yeah, it's fire. Yeah, you're in there. Trust in him. There's a fourth man in there with you. When he brought them out, not only did they survive it, there wasn't even the smell of smoke on them. Got delivered from cigarettes and everything. No, I'm teasing. I told you there's a party going on in here. Hallelujah. But the point, now see, that preach is good, and I learned it in Sunday school. It's so hard to remember that. My lovely daughter's Angie here, she knows it's coming. But it's such a great example. there was a period in time. Now, they knew trouble was coming. Her husband was had been going to night school and was going to leave one profession, go into another. They knew there was going to be a time period of several weeks with no paycheck. So they saved up, which is what you should do, right? Anyone, you know, I'm so proud. Trouble is, you know, you think you have enough. And then they didn't have quite enough money, you know, to make it during it. So this statement, I love it because I've been there so many times. She says, "Daddy, we were strong in faith while the money was there." That is so me. I mean, this is when I was learning all these things. Oh, yeah. Hey, gas in the car, chicken in the pot, bills are paid. Paycheck, got a good job. Everyone likes you. Hallelujah. Wants you to preach and everything. It's great. Full of faith. God is good. Flat tire. No money for gas. Don't know where your next meal's coming from. Nobody wants you to preach anywhere. Everything's bad. Oh, God, I'm in the fire. I was strong in faith when all my circumstances were right. Hey, when all the circumstances come, that's when your opportunity is to use faith. And it's your choice. It's your choice. You can choose fear or you can choose faith. That's why we're looking here at Psalms 46. Just, if you hadn't found it by now, just look on with your neighbor. When trouble comes. And what's amazing, let's read how this starts here, Psalms 46:1. It says, "To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." What? Say it out loud. My God is a very present help in trouble. When I'm in trouble and I need help, there's God. Hallelujah. See, just that right there. Choose that. Choose that. For the second verse, therefore, because you know that, we will, well, therefore will not we fear. And it's a choice. Can you see that? Because I know that right in the midst of my trouble, my God is a very present help. Therefore, because I know that, I will not fear. Glory to God. Why? Yeah, but what if it gets bad? Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That's more than a 4.6 on the Richter scale. That's more than an 8.1 on the Richter scale. I'm not going to fear. I don't care if the mountains slide off in the ocean. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. That word Selah means pause. And reflect on that for a while. Yeah, but I got big trouble. You got a big God. You got a big God. Very present help in your time of trouble. So I was thinking about those three. How about Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel in the lion's den. Now, you're gonna stop worshiping this Jehovah. You were caught worshiping Jehovah. You were seen. People saw you do it. And if y'all don't think that kind of persecution is coming to America, you Christian, you hater of people, they're going to say. You non-inclusionist. Yeah. We saw you worshiping. We saw you gathering together to worship God. We're going to throw you in the lion's den. What would that be today? Well, they're going to, no job for you. No, they're going to take away your rights and privileges and maybe even put you in jail if you preach the Bible about certain lifestyles. See? Daniel in the lion's den. You know what those lions did for Daniel? Kept him warm all night long, you know. I bet he petted them, probably gave them names, you know. Okay, you're this one, you're that one. You know, you're a nice lion. What do you think would have happened if Daniel would have got in fear? What do you think would have happened if Daniel would have bowed down to the false god? Lion food. But can you see how it's a choice? My God is bigger than these lions. My God made these lions. Who do you think you're threatening here? My God is the one who made these lions. You think I'm going to be afraid of lions? For Christ, they're my God's pets. And it makes great little Sunday school stories. And it's wonderful while the money's there. And while your health is good, and while your children are in obedience, and while you're married, and while your wife likes you still. Which mine still does, thank God forever. But it's hard to remember that when trouble comes. But faith is a choice, my brothers and sisters. I can hear Norval's voice. My brothers and sisters, faith is a choice. Choose to believe your God. God is bigger than every problem that ever come. He's bigger than any problems that's going to come. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah just for a moment. Isaiah 41:10. I'll tell you, this has been a lifesaver in some of my darkest hours. When the devil said, "This time I'm going to take you off the planet." I remember this one came. During that time when cancer was giving me a 6-month sentence. This is just one of many, but boy, this is one. If you want to gather up some ammunition for your battle when trouble comes, I recommend Isaiah 41, verse 10. And I want you to understand how he's saying this. It's a choice. He says, "Fear thou not." Does that sound like a command to you? I'm telling you, fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Then he comes right behind that, like that's not enough, and says, "Now be not dismayed." Let's use a different word that people use today. Depression. Dismay. Oh, it's hopeless. I just can't see any light anymore at the end of the tunnel. It's because you're not looking. You're only looking at the tunnel. You need to be looking in God's Word. There's light. Remember the verse in Ephesians 5:14. "Awake, thou that sleepest. Rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And that's in your tunnel. Care what kind of tunnel you're in. Christ shall give thee light. But you got to look to Him. Wake up. Here's a command. Don't be in fear, and do not be dismayed, discouraged, depressed. Woe is me. Why? I am with thee, for I am thy God. But I'm too weak. I just can't go on. I will strengthen thee. Yeah, but everybody's forsaken me. I will help thee. Yeah, but I'm down and I can't get up. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's like he can anticipate every argument we're going to throw at him, you know. Man, that fear thou not. I catch myself, let's say in past days. Circumstances start to overwhelm, you know. Fear just starting to creep. You can get to where you can notice it. You know, fear. And sometimes it's suddenly. Sometimes you get a big whammo, you know. Expected circumstances to go one way and they go another way. Now it's your choice, isn't it? Fear, dismay, down and I can't get up. Where is your God? He is with you, an ever-present help in time of trouble. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. How about this one? How about when the giant is so big, the whole church is in fear? But I'm thinking about David and Goliath right now. Goliath was so intimidating that here's the armies of Israel under King Saul. They're out on the battlefield. quaking in their boots and hiding because Goliath is standing out there. And not one of them measured Goliath and compared him with God. Every one of them measured Goliath and compared him with their own strength. And as long as they did that, they were not willing to go into battle. They were frozen in fear. And every single one of them had the same covenant with God. Little shepherd boy who had spent his time out in the wilderness looking up at the stars and worshiping God and spending time with God and learning to do exploits with God. You know, he fought the lion and God delivered the lion into his hand. He fought the bear. God delivered him out of the hand of the bear. So he'd had some victories. And he looks at this giant. He says, well, how's he any different? Now, the same circumstances. Now, let's say in the Bible it says that kept the armies of Israel frozen in fear. Let's say it this way. That kept the church of God frozen in fear. 1,000 may fall at your left hand, 10,000 at your right, but it will not come nigh thee. One man with faith goes out and challenges him, says, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? All that really means is you have no covenant with God, and I do. This day I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. Do you know he wound up cutting Goliath's head off with Goliath's own sword? The very thing that the enemy threatens you with, God will put it in your hand to slay the enemy with. Oh, trouble. Ah. All the word of God means nothing to me now. Why? Because trouble has come. Affliction and persecution in the cares of this world, my brother. They have. Yes, God's word means nothing now. Where have you been? You can't have been coming to this church. What? When trouble comes, that's the time you get to do exploits. That's the time when you get to rejoice and praise God and get His word in your mouth and upon your lips and do like David did, say, trouble! I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. You think you can destroy me? Have you ever heard of my God? He has promised He is with me. He will help me. He's going to uphold me in this. I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. And I'm going to give a testimony to the whole world that God is faithful. And it's your choice to be like that. And I did not say it was easy. See, the giant really, in my opinion, is emotions. Emotions, rather than faith, wants to rule your life. And emotions do come naturally to the human. Naturally, most people, well, a lot of people, I'd say most, okay, fair enough, are ruled by their emotions and not by the Word of God. And great men of faith, great women of faith have to overcome emotions just like you do. They have to choose the Word of God just like you do. Do you think they're free from those emotions? No. Real courage is not the lack of fear. Courage is overcoming fear. Going to run into the building to save the child anyway. Sure, he's afraid. If he's not, he's a fool. If you don't fear fire, you have a respect for fire. But run in there anyway and rescue the child out of that burning building. That's courage. Well, faith is a lot like that. It's your choice. You can mope and whine and be in fear, and just the devil will just receive all that glory. You know that's what gives him glory? Yes, feed my ego some more. Look how I've destroyed your life. Bow down a little more, please. Tell another person how bad it is. Yes, give me more glory. Don't want to give him any more? None. Rest of my life, go to Psalms 34. Now, we're going to do all of this one. There's one verse in here that the Lord used. It's one of the three verses that I quoted 4 hours a day for hours upon end and days and weeks upon end until it finally broke in my mind that God was bigger than my lack. Isn't it sad that it would take that long? You mean God is bigger than my Sears bill? I got to update that. God is bigger than my Visa bill. Whatever people use now. My day it was Sears. And what's amazing, this is, look at the, if your Bible has a little heading that kind of tells you when this was written. Mine says it's a Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Saul was, during this whole period, was after David, if I remember right. David is running for his life. He's moving from place to place to place because they're out to get him. So the point is, he wrote this in the midst of trouble. Big time trouble. Lose your life kind of trouble. So let's see what he says here. I will whine and cry all the day long because my God hath forsaken me. No. I'm sorry, I read your psalm. No. No, I'm sorry. I read Gary's psalm in the early days. It says right there, Gary. Anyway. No, I will. Now, right in the midst of the trouble, I will bless the Lord when things are good. No? Well, yeah, but I will bless the Lord at all times. That means when things are bad. His praise shall continually be in my head. Oh, we might be getting a key here. Faith has two parts, not just one. Oh, I believe, Brother Gary, but I'm going to tell you about all my trouble. Faith has two parts. Believe in the heart, say with the mouth. Say with the mouth. Okay? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Now, my soul, now he's talking about more than just the intellect. He is talking about the emotions. He's talking about your willpower. He's talking about everything that we call the inner you. Okay? He says, my soul, I don't care what. My soul wants to go off and cry like a scalded dog. But I'm telling you right now, I have dominion over my soul. My soul, right in the midst of this trouble, shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Now, notice this was written while he was in the midst of the trouble. But he had history with God. He'd said, the same God that delivered me from the lion, the same God that delivered me from the bear, he shall deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. And now he's going to deliver me from King Saul and Abimelech and whoever. So he's just calling those things that be not as though they were ahead of time. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. David, you wrote this while you're running for your life. Yes, I did. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. Here it is. For there is no want. The real word there is no lack to them that fear him. And here's the verse that he used on me. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, and that means lack, any good thing. You only say that when the money's there, right, Gary? Well, probably in the beginning. Now I say it when the money's not there. I have learned to say it no matter if I'm running from Abimelech or if I'm running from Saul or if it seems like I'm running for my life. There is no lack to those that fear him, and those that seek the Lord, they shall not lack any good thing. Yeah, but circumstances are bad. Circumstances are bad. Seek the Lord. He has help for you. Seek Him until you hear Him and then do what He says. Glory to God. This might be the greatest opportunity of your life. What the enemy turned for evil, God is real good around about turning that for good. What the enemy intended for your destruction. It's like that sword. I think again of the sword of Goliath. Goliath thought he was going to kill David with that sword. God put the enemy's sword in David's hand. David cut off the enemy's head with his own sword. So this trouble that's come, whenever it comes, you watch. You trust your God. The very thing that came may become the greatest victory of your life. Yes, sir? Okay, I'll give you one case in point. Most of you know that I grew up after certain events. My dad and I went into business together, and we had a little construction company for a few years in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then my dad retired. And that process was about 5 years, and then I had the little construction company, and he was retired now. And, you know, when a company's been handed down, father to son, I wanted the thing to succeed, and we did okay. But, boy, in the 80s, 1987 especially, we had a horrible recession in Oklahoma. Those of you that weren't here then, we only really had two. In those days, we weren't as diverse as we are now. We only had really oil and agriculture was it. And both of those things worldwide were in the toilet. And we suffered a terrible recession. All money people left town. It was during that time that a lot of the people that my dad and I used to do business for, they moved their businesses to Houston, to Kansas City. That's when Orlando and Atlanta and a lot of the money went there. Okay. And used to, in our little business, people that I used to do $100,000 jobs for, concrete work, it had got down to the point where I was competitively bidding to do a $500 patio. Now, business had changed that much. I did not want the business. I did not want to close it. My dad had started this business. He'd passed it down to me. There was an element of pride involved. I mean, I wanted the thing to succeed, make my dad proud of me. So I struggled with all my might trying to keep that business going. You just don't know the hours and the nights that I stayed up and working and trying to make that thing work. Now, besides all my best efforts, finally had to close it. You know what I wound up doing next? Did y'all ever hear of me driving any trucks? I remember it was a great blow to my ego. I'm a college educated man, and there's nothing, I love driving those trucks. Now don't think I'm against truck driving. I tell God all the time, you ever take me out of the ministry, I'll drive them trucks. Just put me back in there. I love it. But at first my ego suffered real loss. I mean, here I'm a university, and I have a degree and I'm an engineer, and then I had my own business, and now I'm driving trucks for a living, which is nothing wrong with that, but I'm thinking, who am I now? What is going on? It was a little bit of an identity crisis. And I was going through failure. I felt like a total failure. My dad's business, now it's failed, and my dad wouldn't have let it fail. And on and on and on, you know, and now I'm driving these trucks. Did y'all ever hear a little story about what happened to me in those trucks? I drove them for 4 years before I ever heard of this Dave Roberson guy. You ought to pray in tongues. You ought to pray in tongues. Wouldn't leave me alone. You ought to pray in tongues. You ought to pray in tongues. Started praying in tongues. And the very thing that the enemy had tried to use to destroy me, God took that very job that looked like the failure job to me. God took that very thing, and He had me in the perfect job for a man who wants to get paid to pray. I couldn't have been in a better job. What the enemy intended to destroy me with, God turned around and made that the greatest, the most life-changing, put us in the ministry, has taken us around the world many times, preaching the gospel all over the country, seeing people get saved, healed, filled with the Holy Ghost, seeing cancer die, God working through my own hands. What the enemy intended for evil, God intended for good. Man, we need to learn to pray. Our God is a very present help in trouble. He is with you. He will help you. We need to learn to praise God right in the midst of the fiery furnace and not let those old Sunday school stories die. The New Testament says the Old Testament was written for our admonition. You can Jesus is our pattern, but that doesn't mean we can learn a lot of things from the old. Well, let's get back into Psalms 34 here now. Verse 10, he says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they... Now, see, that's, I've had years and years to meditate on that verse. Why does he say a young lion? Well, a young lion in his prime. What do we call the lion? He's the king of beasts, right? I mean, if God ever designed any kind of animal to be able to take care of itself and provide for itself, you think about those powerful hindquarters that it has that can jump out and get its prey. It's got keen eyesight that can see far off. Got those powerful jaws that can snap a gazelle's neck with one bite. I mean, those things, if anything was ever designed to never be in lack, you know, and then put it in a jungle where there's millions upon millions of wild game of all kind. If something should never lack, it would be a young lion in his prime. But see, circumstances come even for young lions. There could be a drought. There could be a fire. There could be all kinds of things that would cause circumstances to come where even a young lion in his prime, through his own self-effort, normally would be okay. But circumstances can come where even a young lion in his prime could be in lack. But the promise is, those that seek the Lord, it doesn't matter about your ability. The promise is, if you'll seek Him, you will not lack. And it doesn't, the young lions may be over there lacking. Why? They're still dependent on their own strength in the midst of circumstances. But you're not dependent on your strength, you're depending upon your God. Those that seek the Lord, do whatever He says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Glory to God. So, I don't fear recession. Circumstances come to us. Our ministry, I'm just finishing up our books for last year, getting ready to do taxes and everything, you know. Hey, you think the recession did not affect the money coming in? Ours is about 26% less than it was a year before. That's significant. Does it look to you like I've lost a lot of weight because of it? You think I've missed any meals? Hey, we've had more than enough. He has streamlined us to where we just sailed right through that, and the ministry is debt-free. Thank you very much. See? And if we need a bunch more, guess what? A bunch more will come. Sure will, too. But it doesn't come if I'm out whining and griping and complaining and, you know, talking about how bad things are. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let's go a little more here. So David's counsel to people that are in the midst of trouble, starting in verse 11 of Psalms 34. Come, ye children, and hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Boy, now get this. It's amazing to me that the Holy Spirit of God would speak through David. Let's ask the question again. What man is he that wants life, wants to live a long time and see good in your lifetime? Now just think of the answers the world would give. Well, you got to get a good education. You for sure gotta save for a rainy day. You gotta do investments. And none of those things are wrong. I'm not coming against those. But the Holy Spirit, did He choose anything at all like that? The very first thing He says has to do with your words. Your words. You want to have a long, good life? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. He puts the tongue and the words of your mouth even before the next one, which is depart from evil. Did you notice that? He puts your words first. I mean, how many of you know the Lord's pretty serious about depart from evil? But before that comes your words. We still, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Would to God that we'd ever really learn that. Have what you say. If you believe it in the heart. So then he says, depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, the Lord hears. Do I dare read the rest of it? And delivereth them out of... Dare we believe that, church? The Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. When trouble comes. But can you connect that up with what we just read? Right in the midst of the trouble, keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Don't do any evil. Seek peace and pursue it. Remember all of that. Then cry unto the Lord. He'll hear you. And he'll deliver you out of all your troubles. The Lord is nigh, he's near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as are of a contrite spirit. Now here's that famous verse. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Jesus said, the storms were coming against the man who built his house upon the rock and the guy who built his house upon the sand. The storms are coming. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Out of them all. Yeah. Say it with me. I don't care how many troubles come. I don't care how big the storm is. I don't care how big Goliath is. My God delivers me out of all my trouble. I say it all the time. His praise is continually in my mouth. I'm not going to talk to you about my mountain. I'm going to talk to the mountain. I'm going to tell it to go in Jesus' name. And it'll go too. Hallelujah, see? Hallelujah. That kind of stuff right there is your choice. You're either going to do that kind of thing or you're not going to do that thing. And don't blame God. He gave you a free will choice. Yeah, but it's hard. My emotions. I know it. It's hard for everybody. Do it anyway. I don't care if it starts off with, I praise you, God. If that's all you can get out, I praise you, God. Lift one finger to God. I praise you. Start. Next time, do two fingers. I praise you, God. You got to start. That's really what mustard seed faith is. If you've never heard that series, get into it. He's not talking about little faith. He never bragged on little faith. Why is it you have so little faith? You know? Yeah, but it just takes... He was talking about faith that'll grow like a mustard seed. Mustard seed is a tiny... It looks like pepper grains if you've ever seen a mustard seed. It looks like you can hardly tell it from pepper. But that thing grows into a plant that's 15 foot tall. 15 foot tall, that thing. Yeah, the kind in Israel, the kind in America doesn't, but the kind in Israel does. 15 foot tall from a seed no bigger than a pepper grain. Well, right in the midst of all your trouble, you're so beat down. And see, I know pain is a difficult one. When you're in pain and you've been in pain a long time and it's continual pain, boy, that thing's preaching to your soul. You better preach back. I'm telling you right now, you better preach back. But if you're, you know, it's like, after Sue told me that time, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil's going to put you in a wheelchair and take all the rest of your ministry, steal all the rest of your ministry. Now, I was able to do it a little better than I was in the early days. I started off pretty strong, but I remember times when it was so bad, I really felt like all I could do is a little mustard seed faith. I praise you. This is really bad, God, but I praise you. Maybe in 5 minutes, I praise you with two fingers now. You know, and then after a while, hopefully you get, like Dave says, you get helium hands. You know, helium hands, they just keep going up, and you just got to keep praising God, you know. But it's your choice to do that. And it's so easy to wallow in the mire and just stay there. And, oh, it's hopeless. And you got trouble? Let me tell you about my trouble. You'll feel good after I tell you about my trouble. You think you got a mountain? I have a mountain. Let me tell you about my kids have got bigger mountains than me. Let me tell you about my kids' mountains. And pretty soon you're all in the tunnel with no light. For crying out loud. Faith is a choice. Free will choice. Same mouth that moans and groans is the same mouth that can shout praises to God in the midst of the trouble. David was in the midst of his trouble when he wrote this psalm. Glory to God. Delivers him out of how much of his trouble? How much? All of his troubles. Glory to God. And don't forget that story about the construction job and the truck driving deal. You may be in a situation right now where, I mean, it looks like this is the biggest one ever. Yeah. It's the biggest opportunity for the change in your life you've been hoping for. You put this thing in the hands of God and just see what He does. This might be the very thing. I had no idea that truck driving job was going to be instrumental in changing the whole course of our life for the good. I always had. What's crazy? See, I wanted to keep that. You just don't know how I fought to keep that construction business alive. And that Sue can tell you, I hated that business. I hated it so much. I prayed to die. I just hated it, but I didn't want it to. It was a pride thing, see? Pride thing. And I thought, oh, you know, disgrace and failure. Agony on me, however that song goes, you know. Yeah, gloom, despair, and agony on me. I'm ashamed now. I'm ashamed about the first 4 years. I would to God I would have heard this message and had those 4 years back. See, I drove the trucks for 4 years before I ever heard the message of mortification and edification. Would to God I had those 4 years to wonder what would have happened if I could have started praying during those 4 years. But see, the very thing that the enemy was making me think was the disgrace of my life, put over then in the hands of God, praying in other tongues. Just praying in other tongues. And what the enemy intended to destroy me, God really used it to rescue my life. Put me on His path finally. Put us in the ministry. Glory to God. Don't forget that. He'll take Goliath's own sword and put it in your hand. That's good stuff. Well, let's see. I do want to finish this psalm. Verse 19 again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I hope you don't forget that part. We tend to think that eventually trouble is going to quit coming. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. I can't find that. Trouble is going to come. You're either in it, just got out of it, or going into the next one. That's why you got to learn to be happy. That's why James says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it. You have to count it all joy. It doesn't come naturally. You have to count it joy. Hallelujah. You're not like rejoicing for the trouble. You're rejoicing for your God who is with you in the trouble. And who is going to turn it to your good. Hallelujah. See, I didn't connect this next verse up for years. I want to read verse 19 and 20 together. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Now, see, I know that now. That's part of the prophecy of Jesus on the cross. If anyone ever suffered trouble, he did. But do you remember they were going to come and break his legs? But he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. See, none of his bones were broken. But here in the context of the trouble, See, the enemy, he wants you to think that you're in, he's going to break your bones. No. You are part of the body of Christ. We are of his body and of his bones, and none of his bones will be broken. You're part of his body. He's not going to allow you to be broken if you trust him and have faith in him, and praise is continually on your lips and you choose faith instead of fear. You won't be broken either. You're one of his bones. Like that? Now evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Glory to God. Well, let's do a few more from the New Testament now. Now, you can just write these down. I know you're real familiar with these. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Dave was the first one again that I ever heard preach correctly out of Romans 12 about the measure of faith. And it's so wonderful how he does it. You know, he uses a lot of humor. Well, what is the measure of faith? Is it a measure or is it the measure? And he usually goes into his thing about when I was in grade school and they was teaching us fractions. The teacher asked me, now, little Davy, do you want 1/8 of a pie? Or do you want 1/64 of a pie? He says, I'll take that 64th. Thank you very much. And he says, I couldn't understand how my piece of pie got smaller as the number got bigger. We all went through that, I think. But see, the great revelation is, you know, he'll drop to one knee. It's deep calleth unto deep. Faith. No, a measure is a part of a whole. Well, there's only one whole body of Christ. You have a part in it. You're part of the body. And whatever he has called you to do as a part of his body, he has given you your measure of faith. You can do what he called you to do through Christ who strengthens you. There is no such thing as lack of faith with you. Do you understand what that means? There's no such thing as lack of faith with you. What he called you to do, he gave you the measure of faith to do it. Yeah, but I'm in a prison cell. I'm writing this letter from a prison in Rome. I can do all things through Christ. While I'm here, the jailers are getting saved. While I'm here, those around me are getting saved. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gave you your... Say this. He gave me free my measure of faith. I can do all things. Anything he calls me to do. Through Christ who dwells in me. How about this one? Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How about this one? How about Romans? You can just write these down. We've got 4 minutes left. Romans 8, verses 32 through 34. See, the devil's always trying to tell you God's not going to do it for you. Whatever it is. I don't care what it is, from a can of beans to the next contract for your business. Well, God won't do it for you. Yada, yada, yada. And he'll usually accuse you of something. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't given to Gary enough. You haven't. I'm teasing. You did this. You did that. He's some kind of accusation. Didn't speak nice enough to the cat. Whatever it is. But now watch this. He that spared not his own son. He's already given his own son for you. But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also, notice, freely give us all things. And then notice, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Here comes the enemy accusing you, telling you why God won't do it for you. God won't do it for you. God won't do it for you. He says, who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. God is standing there. He is your righteousness. If you don't understand that, we did several messages along that line in the latter part of the year last year. They're at the website. He is your justifier. He is your righteousness. Well, who is he that condemns you? I'll tell you who it is. It's the devil. It's Christ that died. And now he's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. What's he doing there? Condemning you? He is there making intercession for you. The way I see it, it's I'm sure this is overly simplified. But you ask for something, and the devil says you don't deserve it, you can't have it, God will never do it for you, give it up, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. That's the devil. He's not going to do it for you. You're a worm, you're no good. But you pray anyway. You start praising God. Here's Jesus at the right hand of God. In front of them is that mercy seat that still has his blood there. So the devil's accusing, if he's going to, no, he doesn't deserve it, he doesn't deserve it, they don't deserve it, you can't do it for them. Jesus points at his own blood, says, already paid the price for everything they did. I've already made it, they are a joint heir. I have given them sonship, and my inheritance belongs to them. Go ahead, Father. Give it to them. Based on my blood. Based on my work. I believe that will, as they say, get her done every time. I believe that's going to get it done right there. My prayer is going to be answered. Not based on Gary, but based on him. Now, how many of you start out this year? First off, you do know trouble's coming, right? How many of you now say, just say this with me, whether you believe it or not at this point.
I choose
faith
instead of fear.
I choose praise
instead of worry.
I choose that my words
will glorify God
and not the devil.
I will live by faith
in Jesus' name.